You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is the Friday edition. Normally on Friday I have a lot of time and really go long, 2-3 hours, mainly because in the past that was the day that they were putting the paper to bed. Now that's changed to Thursday, and this week it's even a little bit more unique. There's no paper being put together for the simple reason the students involved with the Richland Chronicle paper have gone to a conference that they have every year to compete. So because of that, I have to wrap up this show in about an hour. So it's not going to be a long show, but I wanted to focus in on something. I was preparing to leave my apartment to go to the Richland College campus, and I was finishing up a drink, chocolate milk, which I have to cut back on. And I thought this was a great day to start a diet. And I will, because I was reading, when I was preparing the show, I was reading the Drudge Report that had an article about obese people of the world. There's over 600 million of us, and we have too much food. That's rather interesting, especially since many people do starve in the world still. It's not that we don't have enough food, it's that we don't have the food in the right place for people that really need the food to get it. But I was about ready to leave, and I was about ready to turn the radio off, and Rush was taking literally his last call, and there were some phone problems that were quickly corrected. And I think the lady's name was Judy. I could be wrong there. Judy or Janice. Because she was saying her name because she wanted to get on, and Rush wanted her on. And she said, well, I'm a Trump supporter, but I would vote for Cruz. And what I really would like is a Trump-Cruz ticket. Now, that's the first time I've heard a call-in say that. There are a lot of people that are for Cruz that would support Trump and for Trump that would support Cruz. But that was the first time a caller said, listen, I would support a Trump-Cruz where Trump would be the presidential nominee and Ted Cruz would be the vice president nominee. Now, I know some of you are really saying, well, that's never going to happen. And more or less, that's what Rush's response was. Well, I don't see how that could happen. Well, I can see how it could happen because Trump wants to win. And I think Ted Cruz wants to win. And I always like to say, let the best man win. That's why we have these primary contests. Because one of the results is you're testing the candidates. And one of the big tests is whether or not they have money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. You got to have all of them. And the more you have, the better. And if you're missing one, you probably won't get the nomination if you're running for president or statewide office, especially in a large state like Texas. And I'm broadcasting from Dallas, Texas. And if you're a follower of this show, just a reminder where I'm coming from. In 1964, I was for Barry Goldwater. And I can remember what the Republican establishment, they were called Rockefeller Republicans, tried to do to Barry Goldwater. And George Romney was part of this. And we saw what Mitt Romney did a couple of weeks ago, trying to torpedo the candidacy of Donald Trump. I thought that was probably the stupidest speech any politician has ever given. There are probably some others. And I think, for all practical purposes, that ended Mitt Romney's career. Just like he could have won in 2012, but he disappeared the last month. And you couldn't find him on talk radio. There are a number of shows that, listen, I've invited the guy, but he won't come on. I don't think we should listen to losers, and Mitt Romney is a loser. And I don't know who advised him in the 2012 as well as today to do what he did. But I stayed home in 2012. You know why? I didn't like the way they treated Ron Paul in the Rule 40B change. See, the prior rule is you had to have to be nominated, you had to have a plurality of five states. That was the prior rule. And just so you understand, the rules are created either the day before or the day of the start of the convention. And Rule 40B expires the day before the election unless they extend it. Now, I bring this up for a reason. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz better get their acts together because the Republican establishment is going to try to steal the nomination from both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And their fellow travelers in the media, they don't like Cruz or Trump. I always, and I have to say this again and again, and I've seen it up close and personal. Most of the media, at least 95%, are liberal progressives. Some of them are in the closet and won't say it, but they are. They're biased. They're not objective, accurate reporters or newscasters. They have an agenda, and that agenda is the Democratic Party and, this year, Hillary Clinton. The prior two elections, it was Barack Obama. They're not there to help you. They're there to bury you, no matter any way they can, fair or foul, and distract you from the real issues, such as we have a stagnating economy. I think we're on the verge of another recession. This president's economic policies are a disaster, as is his foreign policy, which former Secretary of State Clinton was intimately involved in. So what do they do when you can't run on the economy, you can't run on foreign policy? You run on the war against women. And that's what Chris Matthews was about. You see, if you're a candidate for limited government or you're conservative, whether you're Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, the press is not out there to help you. They're not your friends. You can be nice to them, polite to them, charming to them, but their knives are out and they're ready to put it in your heart or in your back or your arm. They're out for your scalp. And that means you have a choice. Either you can limit the reporters or journalists and the networks you go on. That's one strategy. Or you can prepare yourself and understand what you're getting yourself into. And that means you have to come prepared to answer tough questions and know what they're trying to do and know how to answer them. The last show I went over the abortion question, and it was a hypothetical question. And those are always dangerous. If someone asks you a hypothetical question, generally, it's a good rule to say, I don't answer hypothetical question. If you have a question on the issues confronting America, I will answer it. Chris Matthews said, and pressed him, if abortion were outlawed in the United States today, should women be punished? That's a setup. And you need to be prepared for questions like that. They're going to change the wording. That's why any candidate for president that's a serious candidate has a lot of homework to do. There's probably at least 100 to 200 areas, call it issue areas or categories. Does that mean they're going to ask questions about all of them? No. But what you have to do is at least know the top two dozen and read position papers on all of them and then be able to state your position clearly and concisely. But here's the step that a lot of them miss. And I fall in this trap, too. You got to know what your opponents, how they think, and how they attack you. Usually they attack you personally and don't play the game. In other words, I'm here if you have any questions on the concerns or issues that the American people are interested in. I'll be more than happy to answer the question. However, I'm not going to engage in insulting and name-calling of my opponents. That's the smart way to handle it. And more or less, that's what Ted Cruz does. Donald Trump does not. He goes, lying Ted, lying Ted. And Donald, drop it. I think he's gotten so used to it because people clap. But you're that's not a way to win friends and influence people. If you want to be president of the United States, you first have to get the nomination, and then you got to win. And that doesn't mean you don't go after Hillary Clinton. I wish both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump from this point forward would go after Hillary Clinton. I want to see how they're going to attack her. And believe me, there are a lot of avenues of attack here. Now, maybe they want to keep their powder dry and not tip her off. And that's something to think about. But I think it's about time they show the voters how they're going to go after Hillary Clinton on the issues. Not personally, not name-calling. Here is Hillary Clinton's position. What do you think of this? Oh, my God, are you kidding me? And be very, very accurate and precise. Don't lie. Don't shade the truth. But if you did that, I think your poll numbers will go up. And I played an example of that last show. Again, this was on the so-called war on women, and Ted Cruz did an excellent job. And Donald Trump, I think you're hearing footsteps in Wisconsin. But let's get back to what that caller was saying, and I agree with her. Right now, both candidates, Trump and Cruz, don't have any friends in the media, or let me revise that. They have few. The media is in attack mode. They're out to destroy both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, any way they can. They're out for a scalp. They want to be the person that brings down the candidacy of Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. A two-bagger, both of them, that would even be better. That might even get them a Pulitzer Prize. Might get them a well-paid television gig. But that's what's happening today. And Cruz and Trump understand that. And Trump plays that up in his rallies. And he's right. A lot of them are scum of the earth. But Donald, don't complain that they're not playing fair. I know they're not playing fair, but you should have known that when you threw your hat into the ring. Don't be a whiner. It's not fair. It's not fair. Life is not fair. So if you have any complaints on fairness, cite chapter and verse. Give examples of it. Tell stories about how you're being screwed. Call her. I think reflects the views of millions of supporters of both Trump and Cruz. The only two candidates left on my list, I started with four, and the numbers started to go down. My favorite candidate was Rand Paul. And for various reasons, he's not the candidate, not even close. Scott Walker pulled out early, and I had reservations about him. He had a tendency to flip-flop. He was reminding me of Mitt Romney, and I'm beginning to suspect that is his problem. But others that I wanted to, I hope would run, frankly decided not to. So in the course of this primary season, I've had to add and drop names. I've now more or less decided, and I'm not endorsing anyone here. Let me make very, very clear here. For new listeners, I'm not a Republican. I'm certainly not a Democrat. The Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, is a socialist/communist party. More accurately, right now, it's a Marxist-Leninist party. I know Bernie Sanders likes to say, I'm a Democratic socialist. Lenin coined that term. That's to confuse you, folks. They're socialist-communists. They're not. They don't want to bring up. Now, let me make this point. Who is the biggest killer of people in the world? It's the government. Whether it was Nazi Germany, remember Nazi is the National Socialist Germans Workers' Party. Yes, Hitler was a socialist. He was for big government. Technically, you could call him a fascist. He eliminated dissent. He eliminated all rival parties, banned them. And many of them he threw in concentration camps where they were beaten, tortured, and some of them killed. That's the problem with big government parties. And we have two of them today. One is the Democratic Party and the other is the Republican Party. That's why I'm not a Republican anymore. You see, the problem that a lot of talk show hosts have is they have worked in Republican administrations. They'll say they're conservative. Actually, they're Republicans And most of them are progressive moderates, liberal or progressive. Let me be a little bit more specific. And there is a difference between the two. Today, Democrats like to say we're progressives. They know saying you're a socialist is the kiss of death, so they don't say socialist. See, they'll lie to you. They'll mislead you, and I'm a progressive. Woo-hoo-hoo. But who has killed the most people? Obviously, the Nazis are one that's usually mentioned, especially on college campuses. But the big killers are the communists, both in the Soviet Union and communist China. They've killed tens of millions of people. Now, you'll get different estimates, but roughly between those two countries together are about 150 million people. And that's not counting war. Let me be very clear, it's not counting war. And who did they initially kill? Their political opponents. They're vicious against their political opponents. They don't want competition. They don't want dissent. They don't want competition. And they don't want you to have guns. And they want to control the media. And they are the socialist communists of the world. And we have students on this campus across the country that are for Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders is not going to get the nomination. Both parties are trying to rig the nomination process. The Democratic Party, it is rigged for Hillary Clinton. The fix is in. It's so far in that if Hillary Clinton should get a criminal referral, at some point Barack Obama is going to pardon her. That's why she's very dismissive. Oh, I'm not going to get indicted. Of course she's not going to get indicted, because if she's pardoned and accepts it, and she will, the investigation stops. Now, that doesn't mean it's over, because should she get elected or not get elected, Congress should go after her and insist on a special prosecutor. She's not above the rule of law, and that is her problem. She thinks she is. And that's very, very dangerous, folks. But so does Barack Obama. He's violating the law every day in the immigration area. He's not enforcing immigration law, especially in sovereign cities such as Dallas. I'm not going to get on immigration again, but the real number is some 30 to 50 million, no matter what you hear from the government. You can't trust the government. They will lie to you, and they do every day. And they have their supporters in the media that you think you're hearing the news. What you're hearing is propaganda slanted towards favoring Democratic candidates, especially Hillary Clinton that's running for president. And see, the way they do it, one is they never run the stories. Any critical story tends to not to be run or killed. I've had that happen in the Richland Chronicle paper. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but that's where it starts. Their training ground is the colleges. They don't want to hear critical and opposing opinion. Now, the party, they will say, well, academic freedom, and we believe in the free press and objective, accurate journalism. Now, what I do is mostly opinion, but they don't want to hear opposing opinion. That's what political correctness is all about. It's stifling. It's really trying to shut down opposing opinions. Even if that opposing opinion is really what the majority of the American people really believe. So if you run for office today, your biggest challenge initially, there are actually several, but you're going to face big media, the television networks, your major newspapers, as well as what they have on the internet that are opposed to you and are supporting, for example, Barack Obama in his two runs for the presidency, as well as Hillary Clinton. You have to overcome that and be prepared for it. And I think both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are realizing that. Actually, I think they're getting an education in it, how bad it is. But you can't complain about it. What you need to do is go over their heads and don't fall for their traps. The left is cheering Chris Matthews in the last couple of days. I could play a clip. I didn't select it, but I could play a clip. Oh, they think Chris Matthews was terrific. He got Donald Trump. He didn't get Donald Trump. It was a gotcha question, and Donald, unfortunately, thought it was just another friendly interview. Chris Matthews is going to go after you. He's a Democrat. Now, if you believe you're a strong candidate and you've done your homework, and you know your position, you got to know the opposition. You got to know how they will attack you. What are their positions? And most importantly, you need to know how to attack their positions. And what's challenging is there are several hundred issues. You see, and the problem is you could prepare, let's say you were conscientious and you made sure you were up on all the major issues. In other words, you've done your homework. You prepared. Then you go on these debates, especially when there were 17 candidates running. You only get 5 or 6 minutes to speak, and they never ask you a question on most of the issues. Sometimes they ask you things that are ridiculous, and that's when you need to call them on it. They're not asking you serious questions about the concerns and issues of the American people. And Newt Gingrich, when he was running, as well as Ted Cruz this time, you need to call him on it. Why are you asking these silly questions? Or why are you trying to pit one candidate against the other? The American people are concerned. They're concerned about jobs. They're concerned about a stagnating economy. They're concerned about terrorist attacks, national security. Why aren't you asking questions about that instead of the war on women and contraceptives? And would you punish if we changed the law in all the states and the nation, would you, and it was illegal to have an abortion, would you punish a woman? Well, excuse me. If the law, first of all, it's never going to happen. Or it's not going to happen unless a lot of people get together and change the law. And I hope they would. But if it did happen, and this is common sense, if you commit a crime, there is usually a punishment. And if you're a doctor or a nurse that performed an abortion, if it were illegal, you better believe that the law would go after the doctor and the nurse. And that's what happened in Philadelphia. You never heard the case. Dr. Gazelle, I know I'm mispronouncing it. A horror situation. I have a video on the last show that several videos on that. But you got to be quick on your feet. And it's wise to go on a show or a network or give interviews to papers where you know they're hostile. You need to walk in, know they're not your friends, they're your enemies, and they're here to bury you. Now, if you're going to go in that environment, you better be armed and prepared. And you better know how they attack you. Now, it's hard for Donald Trump to understand that because he was a businessman. Until he ran for president, he could care less about this. And I know where he's coming from because I was in the same position. For many, many years, I didn't care about politics. I was trying to build a business, get clients. I had no time for this and didn't want to get involved with politics. And that is the overwhelming majority of the American people. And that's what the politicians, whether Democrats or Republicans, hope most voters are. They don't want informed, analytical, intelligent voters. Now, Limbaugh calls them, what is this phrase? Well, I'll say what I call them. I call them dots, the dummies on the street. Notice I didn't say they were stupid or ignorant. They just don't care about politics. They care about sports. They care about games. They care about their job, their family. They don't care about politics. So you could ask them a simple question. Who is Vice President of the United States? I don't know. Do you know who's running for president? Clinton. Anybody else? I don't know. The low information voters. That's what Limbaugh calls them. These are people that just politics is not a subject that they pay attention to. And if they get any information on a candidate or an issue, it's usually through the news, the television news. And it's a rather slanted point of view. That's why I don't watch it anymore. No point getting mad. They'll bury the difficult stories or critical stories of points of view or candidates that they support. They don't really try to make connections. And only if a story is so huge that they have to cover it, even though they don't want to cover it, will they cover it. And they won't give it much time. And it's very frustrating if you're an investigator reporter and you're assigned stories and they never get on the air. What tends to happen, people leave. But they don't care because there are dozens of people trying to break into news television as well as on the radio. I'm trying to break in today on talk radio, and I think I will, hopefully sooner rather than later. But you have to know It's like war. It is war. You have to understand the enemy, his strengths, his weaknesses, how you're going to combat him. Who is the supporters? And it is big media. And they're going after both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Now, if you're a Republican, I'm not a Republican, but if you are a Republican, you have another problem. Besides the Democratic Party and big media, you have your own party, the leadership of the Republican Party, the so-called, what I call the political elitist establishment, the people that run the party. And they don't want Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz part of the club. Their candidate was Jeb Bush, and he flamed out. I could see it a mile coming. Because he was wrong on two issues, immigration and Common Core. And if you're wrong on two issues that are of major concern to your voter base, you're going to have a problem. And he did. And he lost. He couldn't get traction. And he did the smart thing. He dropped out. That's why we have primaries. Now, what the Republican Party establishment is trying to do, well, let me back up for a minute. You got to understand, political parties are not corporations. They're not governments. They're political parties. They make the rules. The people that run those parties locally, the county level, the state level, there are people that spend a lot of time going up, moving up that party hierarchy. And if you want to get ahead, you have to do that. Well, Donald Trump isn't going to play that game. Ted Cruz, to a limited extent, did, but he wasn't happy. He was involved with the Bush campaign. Let me make sure. I've read his book. No secret here. He admits it. Now, for many of you, that's good. For me, it's somewhat of a red flag. But he's an ambitious politician. And today, if you want to be a career politician, you have only two choices, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. So Ted Cruz early on said, I'm a Republican. He really didn't have a choice. There's only the Republican Party. And that is one of the big problems, which I'll return to if I have some time. So he worked his way up. He worked in the George W. Bush campaign in the policy area. But he really wasn't happy with the positions that he got. And usually what happens is, if you work on a campaign, a presidential campaign, and do a very good job, the way the game is played, those people are rewarded. And they're rewarded by being offered positions in the new administration. And again, it depends on what your role was in the campaign, how well you did, how important it was. And Ted Cruz wasn't completely happy. He decided to run for senator in Texas, going up against the establishment. He was bucking the system, and he won, largely because of the support of the Tea Party movement. And I think he will admit that. No one gave him a prayer, first of all, to get the nomination or getting elected, but he did. To that extent, he's an outsider. But then when he got to Washington, you start over at the bottom. And maybe in 20 and 30 years, if you support the party leadership, you too could be chairman of a committee. Well, for many people, I don't want to wait 10 or 20 years or 30 years. I want to do what I told my constituents, the people that supported me. And that's what he did, and he got slapped down by the establishment. That's why the establishment doesn't want him to be the presidential nominee. They were all happy with Jeb Bush. I always call him George Bush. Jeb Bush. And they're not happy that Jeb Bush really disappointed them. They have backups. They have backups of backups. Next, they supported Marco Rubio, or at least many of the Republicans did. Marco Rubio's problem was, he flip-flopped on the immigration issue and went with the Gang of Eight, and that tore it. Remember, Marco Rubio, like Ted Cruz, was supported by the Tea Party, and he took positions so he could first get the nomination and then get elected. And then he switched. He supported the Gang of Eight. And at that point, the people that know the history say, I don't trust him. I'm never going to support him. That's what happened to Marco Rubio in Florida. The people in Florida remember this. They don't trust him anymore. And I think he's ruined his political career. A promising career. Maybe he can come back. There are second acts in politics, even third acts. But very few people can pull that off. Probably the outstanding example of that is Richard Nixon. Lost in 1960, won in 1968 and 1972, and then had to resign. And he was a big government establishment candidate, a progressive. A Rockefeller Republican. That's why there was a second act. And see, that's what Mitt Romney was trying to pull, and it totally backfired when he attacked Donald Trump. You see, the new face that Karl Rove is on TV saying, well, a new face will emerge at the convention. Mr. Rove, there are two new faces. It's called Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. The American people don't want to see Mitt Romney. They don't want to see Paul Ryan. Both of them lost, and they're wrong on immigration. I know that's why you want them, but we don't. The American people don't, whether they're Republican or independent. So you can play your political games, insider games, changing the rules, and what I was leading up to. If you're a delegate, the first thing you're going to confront when you go to that convention is you got to present your credentials. And the credential committee, now they don't normally do it, but they can do it, reject your credentials. And this committee consists of two people from each of the 50 states plus the territories. There are 106 people on the credential committee, and there are 106 people on the rule committee. So the first, call it obstacle, that Trump as well as Cruz delegates will face is the credential committee. And you can have what's called a credential fight. The next is the rules committee. And what the rules committee did in 2012 is say you had to win a majority of eight states. That they changed the rule. Who did that? What did that mean? That meant Ron Paul could not be nominated at the convention. Now, the story they will give, well, the TV networks only gave us limited time. That was a big mistake. Tell the networks if you want to cover it, you got to cover so many hours. You got to play hardball with the networks. You do. Donald Trump understands that. The Republican establishment, unfortunately, won't go to the mat on that. I bring this up only for this reason. A lot of people stayed home in 2012. And one of the reasons is what they did to Ron Paul. People have memories, and they don't think it was fair how they treated Ron Paul. Whether you supported him or not is not the point. He met the requirements of the old rule, but they replaced it with the new rule. Instead of having the most votes, if you will, or delegates in a state, not the majority, in five states, they changed it to majority in eight, so-called Rule 40B. You see, if they keep that rule in place, there are only two candidates that can be nominated, namely Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. So you better believe they're going to repeal Rule 40B. That'll be a high priority item. And the reason's very simple. They want somebody else. They're trying to steal the nomination from either Trump or Cruz or both of them. That's what's going on. And their voter base doesn't like it. I think they're committing party suicide. If they do that, many people that are still registered loyal Republicans will walk out and never come back. I laugh because I'm a libertarian or classical liberal. I believe in limited government to the extent that conservatives were for fiscal responsibility and limited government. I saw one time called myself a conservative, a traditional conservative, or an economic conservative. But that is not the Republican Party, and that's what many people still don't understand. Republicans don't understand. Some very smart people that's talk show hosts don't want to admit. You see, many of the people that are on talk radio are attorneys and people that have served in prior Republican administrations, either of Ronald Reagan or George H.W. Bush or George W. Bush. I bring it up because yesterday was the last time Bill Bennett had a show on radio that I listened to between 5 and 7, Monday through Thursday. Now, I listened to him for a reason. I knew where he was coming from. Bill Bennett used to be a Democrat for 25 years, wanted to be a labor lawyer, has a doctorate of philosophy in philosophy, and went to the Harvard Law School and served as Secretary of Education and drug czar. But he's a neoconservative. Doesn't surprise me because most of the neoconservatives used to be Democrats. And they moved over to the Republican Party when it started to go far left when George McGovern ran. I call them the boat people. It's not a large group of people, but they are influential, and they have a network, and I like the show. He was very nice to the callers, and if you listen to his show, they have regular callers who are calling in. So I've lost a lot of sleep over the years listening to the Bill Bennett show. It's not called that. I think it's Morning in America, something like that. But yesterday was the last day of his show. But Bill Bennett reflects one side of talk radio. They're usually attorneys. Actually, the two occupations most of them are former disc jockeys or attorneys. There are others, but most of them are articulate attorneys. And I could list, I won't say 10, but Laura Ingram, which I like, Mark Levin, Hugh Hewitt, that's taking Bill Bennett's place starting Monday, and there are other talk show hosts that are attorneys. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but one of the problems is they're not conservatives. They're Republicans first. They're not conservatives. The Republican Party has never been a conservative. Well, it's never been a conservative party since Herbert Hoover got the nomination and won in 1929 and took office in 1930. In my mind, the last great limited government president was Calvin Coolidge. And he left office and his successor, and he could have had a second term on his own, but he declined it. So ever since then, the Republican Party, just like the Democratic Party, has moved further and further to the left. In other words, they've become big government parties. I'm giving you this history for a reason. There are tens of millions of Americans that are now independents, and that is the largest group in percentage-wise. And that number goes up and down. And last show at the very top, near the top, I gave the statistics on that. I bring it up for this reason. My theory or hypothesis is nothing really is going to change in terms of the status quo in Washington, D.C. as long as we have a duopoly of two parties. Really, it's an oligarchy. The leadership of both parties are for big government. They're not for limited government. This is the last thing they want. They truly don't believe in the Constitution. They did, we wouldn't have big government, but we do. And they're really not about replacing all the big government programs, whether it's welfare or entitlements. They want to expand them. They're about expanding the size, the scope of the government. They want to make you dependent on the government, whether it's the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. And the problem is, I know it takes really not years, it takes decades to successfully build up a new third party that's successful. We've had a two-party system. After the Whigs, we had a Whig party. That was replaced by the Republican Party. And Lincoln was the first president that they elected, and we had a civil war as a result. Since then, up to now, we have a two-party system, for better or worse. And I would say worse, because liberty and freedom is going down in the United States, both economic and political freedom. And there are various organizations that publish index numbers, and our number has gone down. There are at least a dozen more countries that are economically more free than the United States. New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Switzerland, just to name a few. I would like the United States to be number one, but it's not even. I think the last time I looked, it was either 14 or 15, maybe even 16 and going down. That didn't surprise me. We've had 8 years of Barack Obama. And if we have 4 or 8 years of Hillary Clinton, it's going to get worse, not better. And it's abundantly clear that the leadership of the Republican Party would much rather have Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump and or Ted Cruz. They want one of their guys, even though the American people have rejected both Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich. Oh, yes, he won his state. Big whoop. You see, the Republican Party has a large bench of big government, governors, senators, and representatives. They're not classical liberals. They're truly not conservatives. They're big government parties. And they have their friends and supporters in big media. The problem the Republican Party has is big media is largely, with some exceptions, such as talk radio and Fox, although I increasingly have a question mark over Fox. Any candidate running for office that's for limited government, he's going to has to fight his way and claw his way through the Republican Party, and then even if he gets the nomination, has to fight media as well as his opponents. I call that Mission Impossible. And even if he wins, such as Ted Cruz did Ted Cruz really change that much? No. Why? Even after he wins, the club is still in place. The leadership of the Republican Party didn't change because Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or Mike Lee, all senators, as well as Rand Paul, got elected. One of the first things they try to do is co-opt you. Son or lady, if you want to get ahead, you got to vote with the leadership. That's how you got ahead. And in 15, 20 years, you could be a chairman of a subcommittee. And after 20 or 25 years, you might even be a chairman of the committee. And what happens is many people that came to Congress as a representative or senator, as conservatives, as classical liberals or libertarians, what happens is over time they're co-opted. Because if you don't play ball, what happens? You're shunned and you're not going to get any committee assignments that you want. Oh, they'll give you something, but it's not going to, there's no future in it. And probably is not even in your area of interest. And if they find out what you really want, they'll say, hey, if you really want to be on this committee, you better vote with the leadership. Well, that's sort of how the game is played. It's not hard to understand. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. If you want the big campaign contributions, you got to do what the donor class says. You do want to get reelected, don't you? Now, I'm giving you this history for a reason. The Republican Party establishment is going to do anything and everything they can, whether it's in the credentials committees, the rule committee, or in media, to sabotage both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. They're going to try to steal the nomination with a so-called new face. Mitt Romney is not a new face. Paul Ryan is not a new face. Marco Rubio is damaged goods. John Kasich is just simply boring. Don't trust him anymore. At one time, I had a lot of respect for John Kasich. Not anymore. I think he's become a Democrat. Forget about Republican in name only. I think he's a Democrat. But that's my opinion. And I lived in Ohio for 5 years when I was in the Air Force. Anyway, I don't think John Kasich, let me see. That was before John Kasich really graduated from college and ran for Congress. So I'm really dating myself. I know a little bit about Ohio. If you want to really limit the size of government and you really believe in the United States Constitution, which I do, you can't run in the Democratic Party. And really, you can't really run in the Republican Party. You see, the problem is this. The people that were in the Reagan administration, were in the Bush administration, whether father or son, they're Republicans. But they're not classical liberals. They're not conservatives. They're largely progressives. Liberal or progressive. There's a difference, but it's a subtle difference. And that has been the problem of the Republican Party since Herbert Hoover. And that's why, finally, I gave up. I supported Ronald Reagan. But I'm getting up there in age, and I finally said in 2006, this is not a conservative party. This is not a classical liberal party. They're not for limited government. They truly don't believe in the United States Constitution, because if they did, we wouldn't have these massive deficits. We wouldn't be growing the size of government. These are career politicians where their first priority is getting reelected. They're into power, power and money. That's what they're about. And they'll talk a good game. They'll talk like they're Mr. Conservative or Mr. Libertarian, but the proof is what they vote for. In other words, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So what I'm leading up to is nothing in Washington, D.C., in terms of a fundamental changes to downsize the federal government is going to happen as long as you only have two choices, Democrat or Republican. As a stopgap measure, your only real choice today to maybe slow it down and kick some butt, if you will, is to elect Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. And the only way you're going to do that, it has to be a unity ticket, with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket and Ted Cruz as vice president. None of these candidates are perfect. I have reservations about Donald Trump and Ted Cruz in the immigration area. That might surprise some of you, because I want the laws of these lands, including immigration laws, enforced, and they're not being enforced. And that's what the majority, the vast majority of the American people, whether their party affiliation is Democrat or Republican, want. And that's what Donald Trump has made a wedge issue. My concern with both Cruz and Trump, as well as the other Republicans, they all talk about securing the borders. I'm tired of hearing about it. That's a first step, but Chris Matthews asked the question, well, are you going to go after the employers? You better go after the employers. That's the only way you're going to stop the invasion and reverse the invasion. And the Republican establishment and their donor base will oppose you every way they can. That is going to be very difficult to accomplish. That's why I said, even if Donald Trump and Ted Cruz win, and I think they can they really deliver? Because long as there are only two parties, I don't think they can. So it's at best a second best solution. The American people are going to have to first wake up and get involved and form a new political party. And it's going to take years. It's not electing one candidate. Don't fall for that. If we only elect Donald Trump, if we only elect Ted Cruz, if we only elect Ron Paul, everything would be hunky-dory and it would change. It's not going to happen. Because the day Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or anyone else is sworn in, who's still there? The bureaucracies and the leadership of both parties. And they're all opposing you, together with the lobbyists and the donors. Don't be naive. And the problem with a lot of these Republican, really Republican first talk show hosts, is they don't want to go there. They'll say it. I've said this. Well, you're throwing your vote away. Excuse me, I'm throwing my vote away and have been for years, voting for people that I don't want to be president because I know what they're about. Whether it's a Mitt Romney or a George H.W. Bush or a George W. Bush. Hasn't worked out very good either. Remember, read my lips, no new taxes. Oh no, I'm not a believer in nation building and policing, being policemen of the world. Didn't work out too good, did it? So I'm looking at the time. I have to wrap it up. But in response to that lady's call to the Rush Limbaugh show, I agree with her, and I think there are millions of both Trump supporters and Cruz supporters that want a joint ticket. So Mr. Trump and Cruz are going to have to make up. If they want to win, and I think both of them do, you're going to have to make up. And I suggested in a show this week, have a dinner at both the Trump's house and the Cruz house with the kids and the family, and then move on to the convention. And whoever has the most delegates is on the top of the ticket. Now, Donald Trump does not want to be VP. But right now, I think he will end up with over 1,237, or very close to it. Let's say he's over. Mr. Trump, the best thing you could do if you truly want to win is make Ted Cruz your vice president running mate. Because your supporters, as well as Cruz supporters, that would unite the party against the Republican establishment that are out to get you, as well as unite your supporters against the press that are out to get you and Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. So if you want to be a winner, if you want to be president and vice president of the United States, start listening to your supporters. That's what they're wanting. And the American people can have a victory instead of a Republican Party suicide pact, which is what the establishment really is. Because they know if they try this and are successful, Hillary Clinton wins. And that's the last thing I want. But that tells you a lot about the people behind this. They are liberal progressives, and they'd rather have Hillary Clinton than a true constitutional, conservative, or business president. With that, let me close the show and this week, and this is show 650, somewhat of a milestone with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, Freedom First, broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio, podcasted by procpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.